This is a really important podcast, Kathy. Hopeless, not truthless. And Garcelle...
Are you talking to me now?
Yes, you're laughing at...
I'm laughing because she's funny. It's not about your podcast. Okay, the name is not amazing, but they do good work.
They do amazing work. Hey guys, it's Sarah.
And Narelle.
You're listening to Hopeless, Not Truthless.
The truthful podcast about hopeless people.
So, of course, everyone's talking about VPR pausing filming, which
yes.
I have to say, after this episode, I am grateful. Hallelujah, baby.
Girl. Same. I think that's a very smart decision. First of all, I think this episode should have just been cut entirely. They should have gone right to the finale. We've only got one episode left, I believe. This one just felt like filler.
Oh, it was just so scripted.
So scripted. The moments were orchestrated for sure, but it just felt like they cobbled together an episode because they had to get one more in before the finale. And I'm like, I think there was a few good moments in this episode that could have just been added to the finale.
Agreed. Because what is this finale episode going to be like is my fear if this is the lead up to it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's going to take place in San Francisco and we know we're going to get that epic scene with Lala about Ariana being a god, which we've all been waiting for. That's about it, I guess. There must be some kind of
big thing. Tom tries to talk to Ariana, I believe.
Okay. And I wonder if that's... Hold on. Let's go back to what we were talking about, how they're not filming anymore.
Oh, yeah. Right.
We will discuss more about this later. But yeah, I'm happy about that.
I have a feeling it's because Sheena, for sure, I think is going to move over to the Valley.
Do you think so?
She was even mentioned by Janet directly in the Valley episode.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe Lala.
They're a good fit over there. Maybe a better fit. But I'm also a little bit worried that it's just going to become a mini Vanderpump. I like the Valley as it is.
Yeah, good point. You know what I mean?
But anyways, I think that was a good choice because letting the cast have a bit of a break and come up with some more just life experiences that they can actually show on camera rather than just have it all be about Scandoval. Yes. It needed to happen. They should have done this for this season, I think. They should have had a break before.
They either should have picked up filming immediately and just ended it, like had a shorter season, or you're right, given them a much bigger break.
Yeah.
The tensions are too high. It's getting real weird out there.
The one thing that I'm a little bit bummed about was I was hoping to see the like lawsuit play out between Rachel and Tom and Ariana. Maybe we still will. I don't know about the timeline, but did you see Ariana's lawyer's response, by the way, to the lawsuit?
No. No.
Oh gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh fuck, Sarah. It's so good. It is so good.
Oh thank God.
Ariana has brought out the big guns. Like she brought a gun to Rachel's like spoon fight. I don't even know how else to describe it. She has just blown Rachel's lawyer out of the water.
Oh.
So we've all kind of been talking about how Rachel has been an absolute idiot to continue talking about the lawsuit and the happenings of Scandoval and how everything kept going down on her podcast while being in an active lawsuit.
Yeah.
Because all of those words are going to be used against her. And guess what? They have been now.
Ooh, shit.
Like, they have listened to her entire podcast and have basically made a 150-page list of every time she's contradicted herself.
What?
In relation to what she has alleged in her lawsuit.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, right? Oh my God, I haven't read all 150 pages because that's insane.
Jesus, I hope not. Yeah.
I have read a selection and I don't see how this is not going to get thrown out. Like Ariana is petitioning to have the case thrown out. And she is also, I believe, petitioning to like if she wins, then Rachel is going to have to pay her lawyer fees.
Okay, fair. That is absolutely fair.
Absolutely.
Standard practice, I would think.
So that has just made my fucking week. I'm not going to lie. It was so satisfying.
I need to look into this because
you do.
I did see some screenshots of the text messages that Ariana sent. And I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, just from those screenshots alone, I thought, it's pretty much in the bag.
I mean, it's kind of, in my opinion, irrefutable proof.
Right.
She only had the video on her phone for like a few minutes.
Yeah.
And then she has text messages to support the fact that they got deleted immediately.
Tom deleted them.
Yeah. She didn't even have time to forward them.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. I fucking love it. So this is what I was like, I really wanted to see this play out. I hope there's like some kind of law and crime, like they follow the case. I want this to go to trial. I want
Johnny Depp trials all over.
Yes. It won't.
I wonder if her new boyfriend is supporting her, Rachel's.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure he is. Have you seen pictures of him?
I've seen pictures. Like, he's very good looking. Sandoval.
No, she definitely traded. That was a good trade-in. Like, she traded up.
Yes, yes.
Did I read a rumor? I don't know if this is true or not, that he's a car salesman.
What?
I think maybe it was a joke. He's like a motivational speaker who sells cars. He has like an Instagram or like a Facebook where he makes these motivational videos, which I think is so on brand for Rachel right now. Like that, I totally see that.
She's still being influenced by someone who is like this. Is giving very Todd from Miami vibes.
Oh, yep. Absolutely. 100%. Same vibe.
Okay. So I did hear that there's some videos of him talking about him supporting Donald Trump, whatever. That's to each their own. But apparently they're not great. So, I don't know.
Videos?
That could be biased.
I wonder. I'm sure he's deleted them by now. In the beginning, I think he was posting pictures of himself with Rachel and kind of riding the wave a little bit. And then obviously it got a little bit of, like, out of hand because he's shut everything down and deleted the pictures.
Oh, well, we shall see what happens.
I hope what happens is not that they come back for season 12. Although that would be interesting with Tom Sandoval in the mix.
I would actually kind of like to see it.
Fuck, yeah. Actually, now that I'm saying it. Let's let Ariana move on to bigger and better things and bring in this mess.
I think she's done. Do you?
I had a theory that the big thing that, you know, drops during the reunion was going to be that Ariana quit. But she just went on Watch What Happens Live last night. So
I saw that.
I don't know. Unless it was a mutual decision for her to leave, I don't see them bringing her onto the show. Like, I don't see Bravo supporting somebody that quit.
Maybe. But if she did it in a cordial way. I know Andy's had, like, lots of ex-Bravo employees on, even ones that have been fired. So.
Okay.
Hard to say.
Do you think she's done or that she's going to be done?
I do. And if she isn't, I kind of hope she is anyway, because she's just so much she's so above these people at this point, in my opinion, right? Like, they're in grade 4 having grade 4 drama, and Ariana's like in grade 12.
She's like in college, baby. She's in university. She went overseas to study abroad. Okay.
Yeah.
She is light years ahead of them. But the flip side of that is there is the whole, well, then Tom wins. Tom won the show. Tom, you know, the petty part of me would hate that. But I guess look at the show that he's winning.
That's right.
You know?
And she knows that he will never give up the show. The show is Tom. Tom is the show.
Well, he doesn't have anything outside of it.
Exactly. Except his cover band.
Even his restaurant would fail without the promotion on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be the just desserts that he deserves and perfect way for her to be like, okay, well, here you go. That's yours now. It's destroyed. Enjoy.
Have fun.
Well,
shall we just talk about it?
Yeah. Let's get into this very underwhelming episode.
Yeah, we might breeze through this one, guys.
You know, Vanderpump Rules, Season 11, Episode 14, For Old Tom's Sake. So we're going to start things off. We're at Something About Her. I wanted to ask you, do you think at this point that they are regretting this venture, this business venture?
I would imagine so. It seems to be costing them a ton of money. And now there's strife between Chef Penny and them and inevitably Lisa, because Chef Penny is Lisa's friend, her confidant, if you will.
Penny is a shady little bitch.
She is. She's been on other reality TV, like on the Food Network.
She's been all over. But the fact that her husband trademarked Something About Her just blows my mind. And now she's basically... Yes.
Did they say that in the show?
No, they didn't say that in the show.
Okay.
But that is confirmed. You can Google it. He went behind their back. Well, him and Penny went behind their back and trademarked the name Something About Her, because Penny's trying to become a partner and the girls just want to own it on, you know, on their own, which is totally, I agree with that. You should, if you are able to do that financially and mentally and you don't need a financial backer, fucking own your business.
I don't think a sandwich shop should have three owners.
No. And I think she's just overstepped the boundaries of like what they were trying to bring her on to do as an advisor. And then when I guess they weren't listening, she went behind their back and basically got her husband to trademark the name. So that has been a big part of them not opening as well, I believe, is like dealing with that.
Sure. It makes a lot more sense now. I don't know. I wouldn't blame them if they're just like, okay, enough. We're done.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving on. Next up, we have Sandoval, who shows up to Kyle Chan's store. I can't even call him Kyle. I have to call him Kyle Chan as well, just because everybody else does.
Totally.
At this point, if I said Kyle, I think you'd be like, who is that?
I would. I would think Kyle from Summer House automatically.
What's Kyle Cook doing there? So he shows up to the store and he's too stupid to work the fucking door. Doesn't even know to pull it open.
I loved that.
I know. Kyle Chan's just like, yeah, you just pull it. It's like a door. Yeah. The way that doors open, you just, that's how it.
I mean, that has happened to me before.
Okay. I mean, it's happened to all of us, but I don't care, okay? It's evidence of him being stupid, in my opinion.
I love it.
And we get a little scene here with Sheena and Tom, who have obviously not spoken since, I guess at this point, it was a few days ago, the pool party where Tom Sandoval lost his goddamn mind at Sheena. So he cries again during his little confessional, wipes away his little tears.
Yeah, about Kyle Chan, which I didn't really think Tom was capable to have real tears, but I do feel like these were the only real tears I've ever seen come out of his little eyeballs.
Yeah, because they weren't tears about how he's hurt anybody else. They were tears about how somebody has supported him and thought of him as a good person. Of course, that's what he cries about.
Exactly. Kyle Chan is here to be a mediator, and I think... I don't know. Is he here just because he's a Tom supporter?
Yeah, he's here to champion Tom and promote his jewelry brand, I think. Right. Like, it's a win-win. I don't think if he didn't have a jewelry store, I don't think he'd be nearly as eager. Like, they're filming in his store all the time.
Yeah.
Now they're going to San Francisco for one of his events. Like, I don't think for one second he's being altruistic in his support of Tom here. He just is... you know, wants to get his name out there, Kyle Chan.
Which is so hilarious because Tom either sees it and doesn't care, or he doesn't see it, which would be fucking hilarious.
Both would be funny, I think. So we sit down with Sheena and Kyle Chan, who is concerned about how things are going to go with his event because he has orchestrated it so that Sandoval and Sheena have to work together. Not on purpose, right? Totally not on purpose. No, like that just happened organically, I assume.
Very normal, natural storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because you do need a manager to come in and make sure all of the sound equipment is working right. And that person should be Tom Sandoval, right? Totally.
Absolutely. You know what? It probably is the only thing Tom is good at. That kind of shit. Bossing people around.
Bossing people around, but I don't think he has any real knowledge of sound equipment.
Definitely not.
Other than how to work a karaoke machine. then this part really pissed me off, how Sandoval made a comment about how he just doesn't understand why a line has to be drawn in the sand.
He doesn't get it. He never will.
Well, I think he does get it, though. I think he does get it. And that's what is so annoying to me, because he makes these comments and they're so inflammatory to me personally, but also probably to everybody around him. Like, he says, you know, because like relationships never end well, as if he's insinuating that how he ended his relationship by cheating with one of Ariana's good friends, that's the same as a relationship coming to a natural end.
That's normal.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, if you and Troy broke up, even if it was just amicably, everybody was on good terms, I'm probably not going to remain friends with your
ex. Exactly.
I'm just not going to do it.
And I get the show. We have to film together. La-dee-dee, la-dee-da. But it is so beyond this at this point, because Tom tries to normalize his own behavior while making Ariana seem crazy constantly. And Sheena is, oh man, I'm so conflicted with her at times, but I'm mostly leaning towards Sheena, stop doing this. Stop being such a male apologist. Stop always working for the male gaze. Like, it's so ridiculous.
And why was she the one apologizing in this scene? Sheena's the only one that seemed apologetic in any way. Tom was just like, yeah, okay, yeah, no, that's right, thanks. So let's move on.
Exactly.
I'm floored that what went down between Tom and Sheena was never really addressed in this episode.
No, but Sheena did kind of confirm that she would get her way. Like, let's move forward so we don't bring up each other's past. Mm-hmm. And for her, that's all she really cares about, I think. Because, you know, she says, Sandoval, you've had my back from day one. And I do think this is going back to like the Stassi, Lala, Katie days, where let's face it, they were outright bullying Sheena at that point, and Tom was there for her. So for someone like Sheena, such a male apologist, and certainly a person who is blindly loyal like she is, that would mean a lot to her. I get that she feels this power, desire, need to always stand by Tom because of what he did for her, but she needs to pick a side. She does, and she's not.
She needs to apply that logic to the woman, Ariana, who has probably, at that point anyways, never yelled at Sheena, never thrown Sheena's past in her face to make a point, never said a cruel word towards Sheena, whereas Tom has said many a cruel word and has thrown Sheena under the bus the first chance he gets in order to save himself. It's just, totally. It is a little bit pathetic the way that Sheena continually crawls towards him. And you're right, she's just an apologist. I fucking loved that she kind of got caught hanging out with him too when Lala FaceTimes. Like,
Katie's, I loved it.
Katie's face when he picks up, when he answers, and he's like, oh, I'm here with Sheena. And Katie's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, her facial expressions are hysterical.
Because they're all of our facial expressions. That would have been my facial expression if I called. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, did you hear the thing that this man was saying about you like 2 days ago?
Except, like, it comes off as weak and pathetic.
Weak. Yes, absolutely. And it's funny to me, too, because prior to Scandoval, I don't think Lala would have ever FaceTimed Tom to tell him this.
Ever. Nope.
But for some reason, she is now better friends with Tom than she was before. She has gone so far past just filming with this man, and so has Sheena. I think James is a good example of how to move on without actually becoming chummy again. You know, like, he's
totally
kind of holding his ground and staying true to himself. But Lala and Sheena have gone so overboard that Lala's actually forging a brand new friendship
with a man she hated for years.
Yes. Yeah. It's wild.
She sucks. She sucks. She's not badass at all, contrary to what she says. I did laugh my ass off when Tom hung up and Kyle Chan is like, wait, did you just get disinvited to something before you even got invited?
Yes, Kyle Chan, he did. And he deserves it. Speaking of Lala's birthday, it's pretty boring.
Yeah. It was. Of course, there's like a scene here that we're going to talk about. But before we delve into this, Brock being raised Mormon
made
so much sense to
Sarah,
me.
Yep. Now our thoughts about him last week being weird about talking about sex with Sheena.
Yes.
Totally makes sense. And it also struck me that maybe him and Lala have this weird little connection, something that they both probably maybe bonded over a little bit, maybe.
Was Lala raised Mormon? No. Was she?
So she wasn't raised as a Mormon, but she was like all of her friends were Mormon. She was raised around the Mormon culture.
Okay.
And I think it was only after leaving Salt Lake or Utah or whatever she's from. Those are the same places, I think. it's only when she got to LA that she became like Lala. Before that, she was Lauren. And yeah, I could see her and Brock having a lot of things to bond over. There.
Interesting. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then we got to talk about fucking Sheena.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you say the things that she said in front of Ariana?
Why the fuck are you pretending Ariana is not there and you're speaking to Lala, by the way? You don't even have the decency to look in Ariana's eyes.
Even though Ariana is sitting right beside her.
Right beside her. It's so rude. It's disgusting. I hate when people do that. I told him I missed him. What the fuck is going on?
Fucking Lala is like, well, I'm pretty sure, you know, one day you'll get back to that friendship with him. I mean, Ariana's face, she's literally nauseous. She's trying, she's struggling in this moment. I think she's realizing, like, wow, what the fuck?
Sheena, you're so disloyal. You are more than dense. This is deliberate, okay?
This is deliberate. Ariana didn't ask a question about this. Like, Sheena brought it up. Or Lala brought it up? Mm. One of them brought it up.
Lala brought it up, yeah.
On purpose, to talk about it in front of Ariana.
Of course.
I mean, I guess at least Ariana knows now, for sure, on the show.
That's true. Unlike Lala, where Ariana is whispering things about how pissed she is about this to Lala, while she's sitting there. And I'm like, okay, so this proves to me, honestly, Lala is playing both sides. To Ariana's face, she's like, I know he's such a piece of shit. But then she goes and says things like, I know, Sheena, you'll probably rekindle a friendship with Tom. What is going on?
The part she didn't add was where she was like, you know, like I've like developed a really great friendship with him.
Yeah, I didn't have to rekindle it. I built one.
I made a whole new one.
Off of my jealousy from Ariana. I think Lala is so jealous how Ariana is handling this breakup, TBH, and she's comparing it to how she has handled her breakup, which is clearly still happening. She's still bitter. She's still hurt. She's still scarred. I understand you're allowed to be that way, but you're getting mad at Ariana for those feelings that you still have for Randall. None of it makes sense. I can't figure it out. It's got to be so overly produced that it's coming off as confusing and illegitimate at this point.
I did love, though, in Ariana's confessional, she's talking about Sheena and she's like spitting the truth. She said, it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the fact that he treats you like shit. This ain't your friend, babe.
Mm-hmm. I love that confessional. And I think you're right. This is where Ariana is finally seeing it. From Sheena, for real.
Yes, she said during the after show that it was around this point that she, or up until this point, she had been thinking that they were all the Spice Girls and that they were all bonded and it was kind of like a girl power season and that everybody was behind her and everybody had her back. Mm-hmm. And this was the point where she started to realize, oh no, I'm alone and nobody has actually had my back whatsoever.
That makes me so sad because there's not a bigger ultimate betrayal. That's worse than Sandoval cheating on her, in my opinion.
I mean, in terms of people who you love and trust, and she is so fucking trusting of her girlfriends, I absolutely know that Ariana would have done that for them. And so she just assumes that they are going to do the same for her and have, you know, support her, and they're not. And I think that that is just so heartbreaking for her.
Totally. Oh, that makes me sad.
So moving on from this, we have Ariana and Dan and their date.
Yeah.
First impressions of Dan. What are they? What are you?
What's I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, this is what I think. This is what I wrote down. Still early days.
Yep. That's exactly right? It. Yeah. You can tell they're in the beginning of this relationship. They're all giddy and goo goo gaga.
Well, she is.
She is. She is.
He's a little, what's the word? I was going to say uninterested. That's not the word. Unbothered, maybe? Mm-hmm.
Unbothered is a very good descriptor. Maybe just too chill, maybe?
Maybe. Oh, maybe. Maybe. Yeah. But it is early days, and we do know that they have stood the test of time. So
yeah,
I'm thinking maybe he just doesn't really want to be on the show talking about this stuff.
It does feel that way, honestly. I'm very grateful that they're long distance. I think that is perfect for Ariana.
Yeah, I loved the comment that she made about how like their relationship is beginning really focused on communication because that's all they have.
Totally. And I think that is such a big building block. Yeah. Do I think this is Ariana's forever? I don't necessarily know or think so, maybe. But as long as she's happy, cool, you know?
I would say they have longevity for sure at this point today, knowing that they've made it all the way here. After if I just watched this episode, though, I might not have been feeling that way. But
yeah, when they start living together, I'm curious to see how it goes.
So we get a little sudden flash over here to Tom tooting his horn.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That was with his little fucking eye makeup.
Oh.
I don't even know what that is supposed to look like. But James shows up to support him and see him play or, no, sing. I don't know what you would even call karaoke. I don't know. But you know who else showed up? Joe. What is Joe doing here, Sarah?
Joe can't stay away. She is such a fangirl. You see it in her eyes. I'm like, oh, man. But I do feel like Schwartz brought her here because he needs more storyline.
Maybe. Just going back to what you said about seeing it in her eyes. Do you know who else's eyes I saw it in?
His mother's.
Tom's mom. Oh. Yes.
His poor mother, man.
His mom gazing up at him on stage, wide-eyed, slack-jawed. Uh-huh. Who'd that remind you of?
Tom Sandoval.
Nope. Billy Lee.
Oh,
literally no. The exact same facial expression that Billy Lee had while watching Tom in the cold plunge bathtub. Same awe. Same jaw drop, same just wide-eyed. I was like, okay, now I'm seeing why Tom Sandoval enjoys Billy Lee's attention.
Wow. And there she is watching him perform. I use that term very loosely, by the way. Touch in public. Yeah. And I have never seen a more proud parent than I did that lady.
Yep.
That dear Mrs. Sandoval.
Yeah. No, she loved it. Which Billy more Lee. Power. Yeah, Billy Lee.
You know, I have wondered where is Billy Lee these days, but
she hasn't been on for a while. I want to make a TikTok actually of a side by side of these two facial expressions. I might do that later.
Oh my god, yes.
So we get Joe and Schwartz out on the street having a little catch up session.
Was it a catch up or was it robotics time? Hello.
Yeah, they did. There was a lot of that. A lot of that, actually. A little bit too much of that, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed the part, I think, when Tom was like, listen, I don't want to give you mixed signals, okay? But you're just really hot, and I think we'll get married in 8 years.
And I think we're going to get married in 8 years. And she's like, fucking whiplash, bro. Yeah.
Like, he does that on purpose, right?
Yes, he does. Because he can't cut the string. He can't let them go. He wants a fan.
He wants her on the back burner.
Totally. A booty call, a source of comfort when he needs it.
Yeah, a source of adoration that he can tap into whenever he needs it.
That's right. And it happens, okay? You fall for it because you're like, if he's saying that in public on camera,
yeah,
I'm gonna believe it. Maybe he really does want to marry me in 8 years. Like, Jesus, Schwartz, you're such a dingus.
I hope she's not waiting around for him. But also, the Joe that we're getting on the show is nothing like who Joe really is. Have you been watching her lives?
Yes, I've seen clips. And she is very different. And I keep going back to that last scene between her and Schwartz, where he kind of cuts things off. And then all of a sudden, she turned into like a lawyer. She's like, no, we're done here. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa, whoa. Okay, so this is an act. It's an act. It's kind of like Anne, TBH. Anne is an act to me.
Oh.
Anne, did you know this, Darrell, was on The Office?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. She's an actress. So I think.
I know, but everybody in LA is an actress.
Sure. But who is that giddy all the time? It's just like, who does robotics in the street all the time? It's too much. It's too fake.
I'm not ready to turn on Anne yet. I'm just not.
I'm not turning on her. I just think it's a fake. I think they're fakes. They're actors.
Yeah. I'd have to see more of Anne outside of the show. Like, now that I've seen Joe outside of the show, like, there is a real spiteful streak to her, the way she talks about Katie and stuff. Like, maybe Anne is an exaggerator of the quirky parts of her personality, but I don't know if it's, like, I don't think it's a mask the way that I think Joe's is. Like, I think maybe she just...
I agree with you. I definitely agree. I don't think Anne has any ill intention like Joe does.
Interesting. I'll have to give this more thought because Anne does not strike me as an actress on the show. I do know that she was an actress.
Oh, so. She totally does me. She totally. It's like too much for me.
So we're off to San Francisco. Nobody packed enough clothing or nobody packed warm clothing except for Sheena.
She knew what was up.
Of course she did. She probably mapped out the entire trip. She's probably got like a whatever plan. She brought her
itinerary.
She brought her whiteboard with her. Like, she's prepared. Did not prepare her husband, I guess. Fucking loved Schwartz thinking for a second that he could swim to Alcatraz. Okay. I don't even think this man could make it off the rocks and into the water.
He's like, I could maybe make it to where that bird is.
Yeah.
I do have to say, this part of Schwartz, like, the inquisitive side, like, he is funny. Makes him likable to watch, at least.
I'm holding on to my feelings of him in the past, so I'm still seeing everything he does as phony. And so I find it annoying.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, they talk about here how they're going to move in together, apparently. So are they? Have they?
I thought this was a joke. When this happened, my jaw dropped. Schwartz, I thought you had more sense in this. Like, I thought you were smarter. It was all a facade. It was planned the whole time.
Exactly. This is what makes me think it's a phony thing.
Yeah.
That they were like, well, let's approach this as if you have to beg me to move in. And I'm going to pretend as if I don't want to. And I'm going to talk to Ariana about it from the point of view that I just can't afford it. And I think it's stupid and it's silly. And then we're going to manipulate her into being okay with it.
Yes.
And then I'll move in with you. But I'm just thinking to myself, have they moved in together? We just don't know this. Or have I missed it? Are they living together?
I don't know. But I think now they'll probably start posting pics if they are.
Yeah, maybe. I found that annoying. The actual boat ride, though, I don't know why, but I definitely picture you and me on this boat. Like, I can see us organizing a trip to San Francisco and then thinking to ourselves, like, oh my God, Sarah, when we get there, like, let's book a pleasure cruise. We'll just, like, drink some wine, relax.
Taking the sights and the sounds.
The waves, the boat ride from hell. Oh my God. Lala's like, I feel like I'm on the Titanic. We would have been screaming, like on the floor screaming.
Mike, I would have been probably puking.
Yes. Those waves are big enough to give you seasickness for sure.
Yeah, but no one puked. I was kind of shocked.
I think probably the actual real rough part of the sea is quite short. You have to like make it over that to get to the calmer part. This part was where I really thought things were going to kick off. About what happened last week. I was waiting for some kind of comment to be made. But like even Brock doesn't seem to give a fuck about what happened with his wife.
Brock.
Only Ariana is mentioning how badly Sandoval treated her. Brock is just like, okay, yeah, but have you considered forgiving Tom anyways? Oh. This conversation, Sarah.
No.
What are you...
Set me off.
Right? Okay, same. Yeah. What were your thoughts?
Oh, I thought he is a terrible person. Stop, for the love of God, stop telling her to forgive this awful man mm-hmm. who has traumatized her, okay? Like she said, she's a gray rock, and I love this because I too am a gray rock. Block, delete, out of my life, you're gone forever. If you betray me in a way that is just, I will never get over. And I totally appreciate it. She is taking the high road, in my opinion, but Brock wants her to be a good little woman. And she even said, my female rage, it obviously bothers some people. Mm-hmm. But all this male rage, including your own, pretty much, Brock, she didn't say that, but including your own, is just fine and dandy. Go, Ariana. I loved this. I was cheering.
The way she educated him on why her anger, any emotion that she has, is appropriate and is actually okay, and that she isn't obligated to forgive anybody, that is some queen shit. And he says, like, well, you should really consider forgiving him. And she said, for whose benefit?
Exactly.
For, well, my wife, for starters. And she points out, what, so I should forgive the man who yelled at your wife a few days ago, who was screaming at her? And the audacious, or should I say maybe just stupid way.
Ignorant.
When she brings up, yeah, ignorant, that's a good one. The way when she brings up female rage versus men's rage and how female rage is the one that makes everybody uncomfortable, he has the fucking ignorant audacity to be like, male rage? Like, what's male rage? This exactly. coming from a man who slapped his ex-wife during an argument.
Jesus okay? Christ.
Who the fuck do you think you are, Brock?
Yeah, that would qualify as male rage for sure, Brock. But it's fine because it's normalized. And I loved, as you said, the way Ariana tried to educate him. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of it stuck. It's very unfortunate because I do think out of all the guys here, Brock probably would be the one she could educate. Maybe if he's exposed to more of it. But he did marry Ashina. So, okay, let's just cancel it all out here.
It did leave him speechless, though. I liked that. It left him with nothing more to say. I just don't like how Brock seems to think. Like, first of all, this is his first season with so many scenes of his own. Mm-hmm. I don't really enjoy how he seems to really be leaning into thinking he's the voice of reason and to being the one he thinks he's going to fix everything.
Yeah, he really does look at himself as like an outsider, it seems, a little bit.
But also as someone who has more, I think he thinks he's more emotionally intelligent than everybody else. And he's trying to help these dum-dums through this emotionally challenging time. And I'm just like, you're too misogynistic for that. Absolutely. You can't help Tom because you're validating him, basically. And you can't help Ariana because you have no fucking clue what you're talking about.
Exactly. But of course, he thinks he's right. His way is the right way. So, yeah, I mean, it's a hilarious situation. I am going to hold out a little hope that maybe if things continue and everyone's back next season, Ariana can educate Brock and sway him.
Sway him into...
being a feminist, bitch.
Apologizing to his ex-wife and being a better father for his children.
Well, this is where it starts, right? And education and just being aware of how we look at women versus men subconsciously and consciously. So it's such a big, important conversation.
And I was actually a little bit surprised that the producers left this one in because it really illustrated how fucking phenomenal Ariana is handling the situation.
Yeah, and she's handling it the way she wants to, so good for her.
One quick question I did have for you. Schwartz pouring champagne into the oysters, is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Have you had that?
Because
I know you love oysters.
I do. I don't eat them anymore, though, because I got norovirus, and I have never been so sick in my life.
Have you not had an oyster since?
No. I have one, but I was scared.
That makes me really sad for you because they were like your favorite.
They are. I love oysters. They are so delicious. I'm not bougie enough to pour champagne onto my oysters.
I don't know why, but that really skeeved me out.
Yeah, I don't think it would taste good.
But I don't like oysters. So.
Oh, no, you need like all the
I know,
sauce
you need all the sauces. That's what everybody says. It's all about the sauce. I've had it with sauce, okay? It's about the texture.
You are a texture girl, though.
I am. Big texture girl. So we got to talk about Lala coming to Ariana and Dan's room.
Oh.
In my opinion, it was to very obviously try to get Dan to say something inflammatory that she could report back to the group.
Totally.
But then she totally got sidetracked by Dan's hair, Dan's body, Dan's everything. She's just not even able to stop from gawking at him the entire conversation.
I mean, that is the Lala I love to see. Like, that's real Lala. You know, like, holy fuck. Way to go, Ariana.
I was surprised by the hair. Like, I knew he had long hair, but I didn't know he had that long.
Narelle, don't you think his bun would be bigger? Like, that's a lot of hair to pack into a tiny little...
It's, like, undercut, so it's right. Not really that much hair. It's just like a... Yeah, no, I was not expecting that for him to come around the corner. First of all, in the towel, highly approve. But the hair, and I was like, we all probably looked like Lala for a few seconds there.
I couldn't stop staring. I'm like, where do I put my eyes right now?
And at the end, where she was like, you've got a good body. Good for you. Do you work out?
Okay, like, Lala, this is what we want. We want this Lala.
I was annoyed by her in this scene. I'm not going to lie. Just because I know she went in there with the purpose to try to extract information from him that she could bring back to everybody to, like, drop some kind of bomb. And this is where Dan kind of started to grow on me. His, like, unbothered nature where he just wasn't really playing into it. And his answers were so vague. And I think it was by design. And I applauded him for it. I was like, you're smart. Just like your girlfriend.
He would be a horrible reality TV star, but he played it perfectly. He's not letting this person manipulate, and he could see it coming for miles, okay? Because at this point, I don't think Ariana warned him about it. So she was still thinking Lala's on her side. So he saw that.
Yeah, quickly. That's a good point. He might just be very, very intuitive, or maybe he could just sense Lala's jealousy.
Yeah.
Because that's what I am sensing. She made a dig about Ariana earlier on in the episode as well about how it's too soon.
Yes.
Like she met him like a few days, 10 days after, you know, the breakup. It's just too soon. I'm not buying it. And I'm like, hello, bitch. You met your ex-husband while he was still fucking married.
Exactly. Like this is where it's so hypocritical. I don't take anything Lala says seriously. Okay, go ahead. Try to cut Dan down. Let's be an unbothered king and queen about it. Because, Lala, your word is nothing.
Yeah.
It's garbage. You know? What did you think of Schwartz propositioning Katie? To cuddle.
To cuddle. Well, I loved this scene because I think it is a redemption for Katie. It's very obvious that Tom Schwartz maybe not regrets the breakup, but like Katie made the comment about how, you know, I'm pretty sure 5 years from now he's going to realize that I'm the one that got away. I think Tom already realizes that. I think he wakes up with Joe and he's probably thinking like, oh, fuck, I wish you were Katie.
Oh, beep, bop, boop, bop, 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 boop, bop. Coffee, meow.
So.
You're right. Like, it's kind of every girl who gets broken up with's dream. I hate to say that, but it is. It's like, you're going to miss me when I'm gone. And he is. And I love that he's actually kind of saying it. And I think it's out of desperation. It feels like that. So I love that Katie's like, no, bye.
Yes. This is going to lead us into the last scene here where Sandoval asks Sheena to go have a chat. So.
I need your thoughts. I need all your thoughts on this.
I do like that Sheena asked Tom if he could apologize for weaponizing Ariana's mental health following him pretty much weaponizing it all over again because he references that he's glad she has somebody to help her through this because he's always been so worried about her mental health. And I'm like, not such worried enough. Have you been? Nope. And then I did also enjoy when she was like, listen, just don't say anything. Do not respond, Tom. Don't. Say a word, because I fucking know you're going to wreck it, all right? So just keep your fucking mouth zipped. And I liked that he did. And I liked that he didn't deflect. I liked it.
I liked it too.
But
Oh, is there a butt? Butt? Okay.
Butt. Oh, yeah. there's a big old butt.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
I don't think that she did it for Ariana.
Really?
Yep. Really.
Why?
Because this is directly going against Ariana's wishes. She's blowing through the boundaries that Ariana has been very clear to Sheena about, which is, do not talk to this man about me. I do not want him to have access to me. I enjoyed that for the first time, Sheena did not make this about herself. She didn't even mention herself. And I enjoyed that Tom Sandoval did not deflect in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that, like, Sheena has done this so that she's trying to pave the way for Sandoval to give Ariana a proper apology, so then Sheena can then let go of her guilt for being friends with Tom Sandoval.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think she did it for Ariana. You're right. She did it for Sheena.
You are right, because I think this is the thing that really took Ariana out about, like, take away the cheating even. But then to do this was like the salt in the wound, right? I know. I think Sheena does have very poorly placed intentions. But I do simultaneously think this is something Sheena knows that has devastated Ariana. And she does want him to apologize. So maybe that will help her move on. But overall, I do think you're right. I think she just wants this forgiveness to happen and occur so they can all move forward and film a show together, everybody.
Yeah. Like, I think that what I enjoyed was that this is as good as Sheena ever gets.
Yes.
And this was as good as Tom ever gets. And neither of them fucked it up.
So true.
I just don't think the intentions, as you said, were true. And I don't even know if Sheena realizes that.
I think you're right. I don't think she's capable of realizing exactly where she is standing and what she is doing and why.
Yeah.
Why she wants this to happen. It's tricky, because when Sheena spoke last night and I was watching her, I'm like, who is this? It seemed like a woman who had really done a lot of work on herself and to also understand about mental health. And she had the language that you typically get from therapy and stuff like that. She knew that this was something that needed to be apologized for. But we'll see. And I think next week we're going to see Tom go over to her and apologize. And Ariana's going to flip the fuck out.
Yep. And I wonder if she, like, who's Sheena going to defend in that moment?
Ooh. Well,
that'll be interesting, actually, if Sheena pipes up.
I think, unfortunately, Lala and Sheena becoming so close has, like, melted their brains a little bit. So,
yep.
We know where Lala stands, right?
Yeah. So...
yeah.
Yeah. That was the end of Vanderpump Rules. Very much looking forward to the reunion, but only if it's better than this episode was.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I just want the reunion.
I want the... Did I say reunion? I meant finale. Whatever.
Remember. Here we go again.
Why do I always... Okay, guys. These are the words I get mixed up. Finale and reunion. And Carl and Kyle.
Yes.
From Summer House. I cannot even tell you how much of our episodes I've had to edit out because I'm calling somebody Carl who's actually Kyle or vice versa. I'm so bad. I'm so bad at this.
I love it. Anyways, it makes my day. It makes me laugh.
Let's head over to the valley.
Let's go, girl. The Valley, Season 1, Episode 7, the number one gossip of the group. All right. We're picking up where we left off, and we're at this dinner, but Luke and Kristen have left, thank God. And the group is real pissed at Kristen. Janet's the most pissed, it seems, because she's like, Kristen is not invited to any of my events. Michelle and Jesse have basically drawn a line.
Yep.
A line in the sand saying, going forward, we will not attend events if Kristen is there. So, man, they are really taking it out on Kristen.
Yes. As a group, they have collectively turned on her. And maybe it's been a long time coming. Like, I get the feeling this is like a last straw kind of situation. But, like, how's Michelle going to sit on that confessional couch and say that she has no idea what secret Kristen is referring to? when everybody else does.
Everyone else does, okay? I don't get it, because part of me is like, is Kristen really the villain here? Is this just a deflection technique from Michelle and Janet? Janet. We got to talk about Janet later.
Janet has really exposed herself a lot in this episode. Like, big time Jax vibes.
Seriously. So then the next day, we see Jesse and Michelle and they're talking. And this is another very fucked up scene. Jesse tells Michelle, like, Kristen's lying has become pathological. As Michelle sits there, like a disconnected robot, going, yeah, Team Jesse and Michelle. Yeah.
Michelle is the pathological one. No?
Exactly what I'm getting. Okay. Oh my God, yes.
Like, I felt as if I had taken crazy pills. And I feel like Jesse knows it too. He's starting to suspect it.
Yeah. Like, I'm really confused by Jesse, because here's another scene where I felt like Jesse was having a very normal reaction to hearing these rumors about his wife or implications or what have you. And he's starting to, like, the wheels are spinning. Even he admitted that. But Michelle's like, I got you a smoothie, honey. Yeah. What the fuck?
She's calculating, I think, is a good word for her. Like, she's not really having an emotional response at all in this scene. She's just acting very calculating. Like, how much should I reveal right now? How much does he know? How much does everybody know? What can I do to throw the scent off of me? Oh, I know. Kristen Doty.
That's right. But it almost feels like she's enjoying kind of dangling the big Pandora's box in front of Jesse. Like, I don't know. Maybe she's just so done. But he doesn't seem to know.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit in another episode. How, like, I don't think you get to this point as a wife like Michelle, where you've been, I would call it, abused by your husband, mentally, emotionally abused by Jesse, and not get some pleasure out of sticking it back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think I'm picking up on. That's what I think I'm seeing here, because, yeah, it's a weird dynamic. I'm going to say that.
It's very odd. I don't know where I stand on either of them. I think they're both, quite honestly, pieces of shit. So we'll see. They both have moved on, so we're fine. Season 2 of The Valley coming up. Oh, this is Janet's big scene where she tells Jason, oh my God, I'm so shaken from last night. She really sucks, you know? She's sitting there getting all pissed at Kristen. But then to Jason, she says, this is what I think happened. And does the exact same thing Kristen did.
Literally the exact same thing. She's saying Jax should know better than to spread cheating rumors about another couple's marriage. And then she uses the rumors about Jax cheating to illustrate how bad it is. To prove her point. She does the exact same thing that Jax just did. I'm like, lady, are you not able to see what you're doing here? Like, even her husband.
Yes, yes.
Is like, wow, she has a new full-time job.
Yeah, like, you're too upset about this, Janet, okay? You're even pretending to tear up. You're too upset. You're too invested. And I know maybe you're bored or whatever, but this is a lot happening.
A lot, a lot. And as she's talking about Jackson's situation and his drama, and she's like, Jax is a real big talker when it comes to other people's situations and drama. I'm just like, how can you be so clueless about your own behavior?
Yeah, well, you know, she is friends with all of these people. So it's like,
that's our answer for all of them.
Pardon?
That's our answer for all of them. Anytime any of them does something bad, we're like, well, look at their friends.
It's true. It's true. What do people say about us? Well, look at her friend. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Do we ever tell our listeners how everyone in high school used to think we were one person?
Oh no. I don't know if we have. Oh
my. Like, we hung out together so often that whenever anybody would be like, oh, we're having people over, or oh, we're having a party over, did you invite Sarah and Narelle? Yeah, Sarah and Narelle are coming. Are Sarah and Narelle going to be there? And there was this new kid that came to school in like grade 11 or grade 12 or
something.
Who
was it? Do you remember?
Remember those two tall guys came?
Jason and Andrew.
Yes. I think it was Andrew, I want to say.
Yeah, that would make sense.
He was like, who is this Sarah Ann Norell person that everybody keeps talking about? Like, Ann was the middle name. Yep, two people. That's how little of an individual identity we had.
Which is so funny because we are quite different in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but I wonder if only you and I know those differences.
That's so true. Especially in high school. Oh, yeah.
Where were we?
Honestly, I have no idea.
I don't even remember what brought that to my mind. I don't know.
Okay, well, let's move on to Kristen getting her ovaries checked then, because nothing is more exciting than that.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know what? She's got them follicles.
She's all good.
Yeah. There was a brief clip there where when the doctor walked in, she didn't have a blanket on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like her dress, her thing, like it was hiked up.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Like within the next second, all of a sudden she has the white blanket on. But I'm like, oh, my God.
It was I don't like those appointments.
No. But she got good news. They got good news.
Yeah. And the fact Luke is like, she will be the mother of my child. She will be my wife. I'm like, okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll believe it when I see it.
I actually do believe it. I don't know why, but I think they're... Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
They're a weird, similar level of toxic.
Yeah, that I definitely agree with. Yep.
And those kinds of people really gravitate towards each other and bond. The bond is strong.
Yeah. Okay. I just worry Kristen can't not fuck it up. That's all. Mm-hmm. You know? Because she's like a little more toxic. So, but maybe she's met her perfect match and I would love that.
I do sense that this might be him. Not in the way that I think they're good together and that they're going to have a healthy relationship, but that's why it's going to work.
I love this. So Jason and Janet come over to Jackson Brittany's. And before I say anything about this, I had to tell you. So I watch with closed captions on, so it's easier for me to take notes. Mm-hmm. And when Brittany laughed, my closed caption says, guffaw. Guffaw. Guffaw.
I thought you were going to say it said yuck.
Guffaw.
Guffaw. That is. She guffaws. She guffaws for sure. Oh my God, my voice just cracked. No, that's good. I mean, what else do you call it? It's not a laugh.
No, it's a guffaw. But I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. Okay. Jax, you got to stop talking to Brittany and her family the way you do. And he can't help himself, you know, he just can't.
This is really funny because I actually agreed with Jax in this scene.
Okay, I agreed with the sentiment, but the way he's like, I'm just so annoyed. I hate this. I hate this place. Get out of here, everyone. Which I'm like, yeah, do it.
I have a very bad feeling that that is how I would react and behave if I was married to Brittany and those were my, like, family, my in-laws. I think I'd fucking lose my mind. But
I hate it here.
Exactly. I fucking hate it here. I hate all of you. You're so stupid.
So
the
obtuse.
Flip side of this, though, maybe don't have your child with his, I believe she was like a speech pathologist. Maybe put her, like, put them in a quiet room.
Yeah.
Don't have the lesson going on in a living room with the fucking doorbell going off. You've got company come in. You're over there looking for your glasses. Like, yeah, it is very distracting. And I couldn't help but notice that the only time they took him seriously was when he was like, we're paying a lot of money for this. And they were like, oh, shit. Yep, we are. Let's go.
Oh, my God. That's a good point. The thing that bothers me, one of the biggest things that bothers me about Brittany is that she puts up with Jax and all of his shit, right? For years now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then in confessional, she goes, if Jax tells me to shush one more time, I'm going to light his ass on fire, or whatever she said. I'm like, Brittany, we know that's not true.
Okay? No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're just not.
No.
Or you would have divorced him years ago.
Exactly. And I don't know why, guys. Maybe it's like a misogynistic thing. I hate when women do this. Like, they put up with all this shit for so long, and then all of a sudden, behind, you know, when the person's not around, they're like, I'm going to kick his ass. Like, stop.
I mean, it's to save face, but at this point, we all see through it. So it's just annoying.
Yeah.
Don't say it if you're not going to follow through.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Continually, too.
I do love that Janet showed up to gossip.
Exactly. To get all the goods.
Yeah. Like, there was no other reason for her to be there.
And even Jason's like, well, Jax, you kind of were gossiping. And then Janet's like, tell me everything. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't want to know that.
And Jack's confessing that he did have the plan to get Jasmine to report back so that he could drop the bomb. I'm like, that is exactly how he operates. He's always done that. That's why he's good at reality TV. He knows how to orchestrate that drama.
Yeah.
And he tries but fails to keep himself out of it.
Oh, I loved it. And Brittany's sitting there again trying to pretend like she doesn't know anything about this rumor. When in all likelihood, it was probably her who told Jax, and Jax would be a big enough dick to blame Kristen when she was drunk, of course, to add that caveat.
Probably fucking spot on.
Mm-hmm. So Jax and Britt, they go on a date, I guess, to a tantric sex place to get tools.
The lady commented on how open their body language was. At the exact moment, I was thinking to myself, wow, Jax really has closed off body language right now.
Stop.
He's not into this at all. Yeah.
But he planned it.
He planned it to make it look as if he gives a shit.
Yeah, yeah. He even said that.
He did?
He said, you know, I just want her to think I'm trying.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, there you go. Here I am thinking I've made like a clever observation.
No, it was, though. It was.
And he verbatim told us that. Yeah, but yes. And we find out, well, I think we already knew this, but they've had sex twice the past year.
Oof, man. That makes me sad. And it did make me sad hearing Brittany talk about her body insecurities and her postpartum body and that type of thing. But
like, going back to what you said, though, it's in the same vein how she talks about, like, I'm worried that he's not attracted to my post-baby body.
Uh-huh.
Babe, you knew that he wasn't attracted to you before.
Yeah.
You even got married to him.
When you were stick thin and
had those giant bolt-on boobs that he bought you. Like,
I can't with those
boobies.
This
man has told you to your face, or at least has been on, like, a recording.
Yes.
That you heard. Talking about how he's not attracted to you. So it's annoying to me when it's this like big elephant in the room that they're dancing around. And it is the same thing that she just doesn't own up to it.
You're so right. She must have short-term memory problems because it's all the same shit all of the time and it's on repeat.
It's because she gets away with it. She expects us to have short-term memory loss.
Mm-hmm.
And they get away with it. They do.
They
so,
do.
Why not?
I did find it interesting when she said, you know, I don't think Jack's cheating, but if he isn't, why doesn't he want to have sex with me? Like, okay, well, yeah, you know your man's, okay? So talk about that, maybe.
Yeah, it's a good place to start.
So moving on, we see Jax, Jason, and Luke, and they're bowling. And they're basically there just to talk about Kristen's shitty behavior and how... Luke is like, okay, guys.
Luke.
Yes. Yes. Luke's like, okay, just like riddle me this. I don't understand why people are still backing Jesse after everything. And
yeah.
Jason's like, okay, okay. He's so like, I love Jason. I love him. He's so proper. He's so good. And he's like, okay, so Jesse's family has basically been under attack by your girlfriend for the last month, right? Then Jax just rages. He's like, oh, Kristen's a known liar, and like so upset by it all.
Do you think that is just for good TV, or do you
maybe
the beginning of this season him and Kristen were like close?
I know, and he can't help but throw this woman under the bus every chance he gets. Is it because he feels the most comfortable with her?
Whenever Jax does this, and he did this on Vanderpump Rules all the time, it's usually because he's hiding something himself.
Yeah.
Like, he's deflecting. Like, everybody look at Kristen. Look over there. So that makes me wonder what Jax is doing at this moment in filming. Like...
Yeah, with his...
Who's he cheating with?
Publicist, maybe?
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
But I did expect Luke to... I think he did support Kristen, but like I expected him to like hold on to the narrative that Kristen has done no wrong a little longer. Same. But then he chimes in with, yeah, she does. She says things and then she just totally forgets that she said them.
Yeah, but he added the caveat when she's drinking.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't know if it's just when she's drinking, but I think she does use alcohol to kind of let a lot of those feelings out.
For and sure.
And secrets, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a pickle, as we see later. Let's just talk about this, because I love this. He's like, we need to have a chat. As he, like, basically makes her a drink. He's like, here's alcohol.
Yeah. Let's fuel this fire.
He's like, okay, so Jason and Jack said some people just don't want to be around you anymore.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on that? People are afraid of you.
People are afraid of you, basically.
How does that make you feel? And he makes a comment about, I think it was during his confessional, about how, you know, it's just so hard to see her so upset and so stressed. And at this point, all Kristen had said in a very monotone way was, yep, words are hard.
Oh, dude.
Like, she shut down.
I find it passive aggressive.
Yeah. These people who pride themselves on being communicative. And again, here's an instance where I think Luke is trying to communicate with Kristen. And she's just like, yes. Shuts down, puts up a wall that he can't get through.
Yeah.
And then in her mind, she's like, yep, we communicate great.
Oh, totally. And I saw a little bit of myself in Kristen when she did this, like, oh, how dare you insult me, especially when my partner insults me in any sort of fashion. I'm like, oh, I automatically, or anyone really, I'm like, oh, but I've been trying to work on it. I recognize it now. And Kristen, I suggest you do the same because you're not going to get anywhere. Luke was genuinely frustrated. He's like, I can't have this conversation. This isn't a conversation. So let's not even bother.
No, I love that he pointed that out.
Yeah, you are right about his communication. He is very good at it. Very calm.
If she could meet him with the same energy, their relationship would probably be a lot healthier. Yeah. Which I guess I am saying that Kristen is the problem.
Yeah, she is, isn't she?
Yeah.
I know. And I think Luke is, for the first time seeing reality TV Kristen, because he's like, yes. I don't know this person.
I made a note here. I was going to ask you, like, do you think Kristen is really that different off camera?
Yeah, I do.
She must be for him to be so caught off guard by this. Yeah,
yes. And she's probably pissed he said that because now it kind of like takes some of the magic away. Like, oh, crazy Kristen isn't always crazy Kristen. But you don't end up with a guy like Luke if you're actually that crazy all the time.
I think maybe... The way that I look at it.
I think maybe you do.
Great. I think you do. Yeah, I think you do. Because I think what it might be is that she is crazy all the time. But until there's a camera and all of this attention and everybody picking apart everything that she said, she's much better at hiding it and keeping it under wraps. And so she gets into a relationship and she probably love bombs all of her suitors, and all of her relationships have developed very, very quickly.
They do.
And you get to a point of like being in love with somebody so quick and so fast that you haven't really discovered all of their flaws yet.
That's a real good point.
Now she's like, surprise.
The truth is coming out.
Yeah.
Real Kristen is being revealed. Yeah, that's a very, very good point. And we do see her put the mask on a lot. So I can see that person she's portrayed to Luke a lot. So,
and it's just the way that she shuts down.
Yeah.
That seems to be her. She used to fight back a lot more, like with when she was with Sandoval. Like they'd have some very fiery fights. But with Luke, she just shuts down. She doesn't even talk to him.
Yeah. Oof. I'm not going to really talk about Nia right now because I think what she's going through is so unbelievably hard. All I can say is I feel incredibly sorry for her. I don't think she should be filming this right now. I'm glad she's exposing her story to help others, but
yeah,
it's getting hard to watch because she's shutting down as well.
I mean, I'm so happy that she is putting this on camera for people.
Yep.
But like you, my concern for her is that it's taking too much of a toll on her to do it.
Yes.
That would be my fear. As long as it's not, maybe she finds it therapeutic to talk about, which maybe. I would in a sense. So I'm very supportive in that respect. But yeah, I feel very bad for her.
It just seems like she can't be there. Like in the first scene, she left in the middle of the drama. And then when she had dinner with Jesse and Michelle, she's like, I can't hear about Kristen right now. I'm too overwhelmed. It just felt like this poor woman just needs a break, you know, and needs to work on herself. Yeah. Okay. Jax plans a date for him and Britt, and Janet and Jason babysit, which seemed to go okay. That's fine. But this date, it was like 5 minutes in and there was already a catastrophic fight.
Yeah. Why would you even try to talk about this kind of shit during your one date, like your one overnight date?
Seriously.
I'll tell you why.
Tell us.
I think like Jax already knows the marriage is over. He doesn't want to have sex with this woman. He does not want to procreate with her.
Yeah.
He wanted to have this fight and blow it up.
Yeah. Because I hate to say it, Jax isn't wrong in his statements to Brittany. Like
about not having children. Another one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no, it's a disaster waiting to happen. I'm super glad they didn't now. But this is not the time to tell her that. And I do think he blindsided her on it. Blindside in the same way Lindsay Hubbard was blindsided, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, you should have seen it coming, but we understand that you didn't. It's interesting because I know that she posted like 9 months ago, whenever this actual date night happened, I know it was talked about, like they both posted it to their social media.
Oh.
And they posted about like morning after, and she posted something very coy, like she was still in bed as if they had just spent the entire night fucking each other's brains out.
Oh.
Which absolutely now I can see did not happen.
Like Jax walked away. But maybe that is when they do it. They need a fight to bring them together?
No, because then they'd be fucking doing it all the time, yes, Sarah. So true. They fight more than twice a year, okay?
Yeah.
It was just very manipulative of like to try and manipulate the situation and manipulate people who look at her social media into thinking like, look at my marriage. Look at how much my husband fucks me. It makes me not trust her at all. Like I can't trust anything she says.
Yeah.
Like, what is real? What's your real sentiment here? It also was really clear to me that they have no friendship within their relationship. Like they sit down, they've got zero to talk about.
Yeah.
I think that's why the fight came up, because that's the only thing they have in common.
Yeah.
But they're like, isn't it so pretty here? So pretty. Oh my God. So are you excited for the bar to open?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's all you guys have to talk about?
So true. At the bar and cruise. And Jax doesn't want to talk about cruise. Doesn't want to talk about more kids. He said something. Did you catch this? He's like, I'm just scared about something happening. What? Like, what does that mean?
No, I didn't hear that.
I'm like, are you talking financially? That's why you need to spend more time working right now. What does that mean? Interesting.
I did catch him making another little quip about her drinking, though. Yep. When she starts to cry and he's like, don't do this. You're only crying because you're drinking. Don't do this.
That is such a shitty thing to say to someone, honestly. That's so bad.
That's not something you say to somebody if you're actually trying to stop them from crying.
Right.
Like you're egging them on.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was getting emotional about her kid. So like, leave it alone, you know? He just can't help himself. He just doesn't like her.
He knows the buttons to push. Mm-hmm. No, that's right. He does not like her at all. And he hasn't liked her for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of the pretense. I'm glad they divorced. I have a funny feeling that they are going to have a second child.
Oh, my.
Like, I think they're going to get back together, or they're going to have like a one-night stand or something, and Brittany's going to get pregnant. Oh. And they're going to end up together. I just have this weird feeling. They are that couple.
They are that couple. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm still unsure if it's true or not.
I think it's pretty safe to say, like, he's cheated with his whatever that. Who is she? She's his PR or something. The publicist. Like, Brittany and Jax have stopped following each other, which, I mean, hello, Larsa Pippen. I know that that can be for publicity, but I buy it.
Hmm.
I mean, I buy that he's cheated on her multiple times.
Oh, I buy that part.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Like, watching Britney excuse his behavior for so long, it's like, what was the final straw?
Yeah.
Is, you know, I don't really have faith in her, you know?
And also the fact that, like, her mom is Jax's biggest fan, right, basically, and has pushed Britney to be in this relationship. Like, I just see them finding their way back to each other.
Yeah. I absolutely do as well.
I just really don't want them to have any more kids. Like, I know. I feel bad enough for Cruz. I do not want these people to procreate again.
I know, and I hate agreeing with Jax again, but he's like, we need to focus on Cruz right now and his speech therapy and all of this stuff. And I think Britney is definitely in the mentality, having another baby, that's great.
But why?
To fix it. She thinks it will fix it.
I just don't like her. I don't.
I don't like her either.
Well, I don't like Jax either. I've always thought Jax was garbage, but I don't like Britney.
I know. There's not much depth there either.
No.
And on that note, let's end the episode. That was great. I'm excited for Summer House coming up on tomorrow. Tomorrow? Is it tomorrow?
Yep. Summer House is going to be a good one, I think. I think we're going to finally start the downfall between Carl and Lindsay.
Yeah. You know what is so funny? As I was watching VPR yesterday, a Summer House ad came on. I'm like, oh man, I want to be watching that so bad right now.
I know. Oh, I know. I'm so much looking forward to it.
Yes.
Hope everybody's having a great week. Nothing else to add in here, I don't think.
No. Well, thanks everyone for being here. Hi to all of our new listeners. Hello. Stick around.
Hello.
Give us a like, a subscribe, a rating.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Share us with your friends, your other Bravo friends.
That would be amazing. Word of mouth is like the only way for us little Canadian gals to get boosted up here. So we appreciate any time we're recommended. And we seriously love you guys. So thank you.
We really do. But yeah. Until
I was waiting for it.
I know. So was I, and I could feel it. It was too much pressure. And until next time, guys, stay truthful.
But not hopeless.
Bye.
Ciao. Talk to you on Friday.
Arrivederci.
Mamas. What? Mamacita. No, oh, never mind.
That was our French teacher, who was actually Italian. And every time she would swear at us. Mamacita, Ostrogita, Mama Santa.
Ostrogita, Mama Santa.
That's got nothing to do with saying goodbye, Sarah.
I know. It just popped into my brain.
Au revoir.
Au revoir from Sarah and Narelle.
And Sarah and Narelle.
Bye.